I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello and welcome to Reality TV. As always, I'm your host, Jody, and this week, before I do anything else and talk about anything else that is, you know, very important, I want to thank all of you for reaching out once again. My son is doing much better. My dad's going to be starting chemo. We're on the way to health, right? Good vibes, good energy, prayers, whatever, whoever it is that you pray to and thank or, you know, rub crystals off. That sounded really dirty, but hey, if that's your thing, thank you for it. And yeah, that's about it. Also, I want to thank my newest Patreon subscribers. You guys have really come through. Wow, I'm blown away. Dr. Amy, my friend Dr. Amy, she jumped up to the $10 level. We have Latreya, Kayla, Catherine, and Chris, Brandy, Patrick, and Jackie. I love ya. I will rub some crystals off for ya. And your stickers are going to be on their way. Dr. Amy, you're getting a keychain if you don't already have one. I'll be doing that later this week. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Bonus episode coming up this week. I think we need to go over some blind items. There are quite a few really juicy, kind of dirty, scandalous ones. And of course, there are some that have Meghan Markle and Prince Harry written all over it. We're going to have to discuss. Now, let's get down to the nitty gritty, very bottom of the shallow end of the news. Joe Giudice has been released from ICE custody, and he's in Italy. Now, if you have not seen what Juicy Joe looks like right now, well, you can join Date with Dateline, Moms and Murder, and People Are Wild podcast, our girl Kim, our favorite ER nurse. We have a little thread going on Twitter, and okay, maybe I'm just getting off on it way more than all of you other ladies, but it is what I live for in society, right? Some of us are cheering for him. Some of us, okay, me, thinks he looks like, I don't know, like an extra long big toe or something. He doesn't look like the Juicy Joe that I want to see, that I love to hate. He's way too thin. He's way too moisturized. He looks too happy. I don't like to see a happy former criminal. Now, I do feel a little badly for him because his wife and his children are not by his side in Italy. While he was being released to the wonderful under the Tuscan sun region of the world, Teresa was out partying with all her friends. Now, I understand, you know, he's a scummy husband. He cheated on her. He went to prison. I don't feel badly for her because she had to go to prison because, listen, she signed the papers. I am not a Teresa fan at all. But I do understand they're not together, so it's not like she's going to have this happy homecoming picture. Although she sure made it look that way when she was on camera, right? I'm talking about his daughters. He hasn't seen his daughters in forever because Teresa never brought the kids to go see him. And this opens a whole can of worms, really Real Housewives of Atlanta style, about Apollo and Phaedra bringing the kids, whatever. But I just think it's a real shitty move to not at least have your daughters there to see him when he's released. She's got enough money in the bank, right? That's all we hear about is how she is not in foreclosure and she's not in bankruptcy anymore. She pays her bills. Wouldn't it have been nice to, I don't know, have your daughters there when he lands in Italy so he can at least see them. And it's not even about Joe, it's about his daughters. Now, I found it very interesting that Joe's family, his mom and his brother, welcomed him in Italy. It looks like they bought him a home, or at least they decorated it and got it all ready for him to live there. I'm wondering, are they moving there to support him? Because they are very vocal that they do not like Teresa. They don't approve of her. They probably wanted her to be there, but also didn't want her to be there. We all have family issues. We know that whole song and dance. What gets really under my skin, what keeps me awake at night, people, not really, I sleep quite soundly after I scour the internet of all the scariest and most disturbing things on the internet. Teresa is going to go to Italy with her daughters to see Joe and have this very happy family reunion with Bravo cameras in tow. Teresa, what the fuck? We see exactly what you're doing. You are not smarter than everyone else, despite whatever your posse around you is telling you. Okay, what's up next? Oh, Felicity Huffman, speaking of prisons, right? This morning, Tuesday morning, Felicity Huffman has reported for her prison duty, I guess you would call it. She'll be cleaning up some duty, fingers crossed. The Emmy-winning star entered a low-security, all-women's federal prison located in Alameda County in Northern California. I think this is her prison of choice, if I remember correctly. And I just feel like if you are purposely requesting a certain prison, you should not be reported to that one. I mean, what the hell is this? This is not like, oh, I didn't even plan to make this analogy, but boy, if the federal prison shoe fits. I was going to say, this is not like you are picking a private school for your kids or choosing a school. This is prison, but hey, all in the same, I suppose. Now, when I referred to the deepest, darkest parts of the internet earlier, specifically, I'm talking about UK Daily Mail and Radar Online. I would say bordering the lines of ethical, but I'm reading every damn line of it. So what does that say about me? So I'm going to start with, oh, the least offensive of the bunch. You're going to love this one. If there's any men listening right now, you're going to need to sit down for this. The headline reads, U.S. Navy veteran who is one of only four penis transplant patients in the world reveals he considered suicide after losing both legs in Afghanistan, but now feels normal because he can pee standing up and get erections. I told you this is the least offensive. I think everyone has a right to get a penis. The man lost his legs for our country. He lost his pee-pee. He should be able to do whatever it is to get him back to normal. Now, let me keep going with the details so we can really wrap ourselves around his penis. The veteran, a U.S. Navy Corpsman known as Ray, received the world's fourth penis transplant in 2018. Like I said, he lost both legs, his scrotum, penis, and part of his abdomen in an IED explosion in Afghanistan. More than 500 servicemen have received similarly catastrophic genital injuries in Iraq and Afghanistan since the wars began. Now, the activist part of me, the outspoken part of me, I know you don't hear from her very often, I think there should be more awareness. There should be parades. There should be a banner about losing your penis in war. And I'm not saying that completely jokingly. Like, if this is a thing that actually happens, and obviously they feel embarrassed about it, this guy is just known as Ray. Kind of makes you wonder, like, did he get to choose his anonymous name, his pseudonym, his ghostwriter name, or did someone to choose it for him? Anyhow, but if they're embarrassed by this, they shouldn't be. Just like we're getting on this, all women have periods, they menstruate, it's a normal thing. If losing your penis is a normal thing, we should be talking about it. Ray, now in his 30s, said he had contemplated suicide after being blown up. God bless our troops, for real. A team of 25 surgeons from Johns Hopkins completed the world's most extensive 14-hour penile transplant surgery on Ray in April of last year. 14 hours. This is like the most cared for, treasured, handled like a baby penis on the face of this earth, right? Ray, in his 30s, says he now feels normal after receiving a penis, scrotum, and partial abdomen from a donor. Well, here's where my question lies. You know, I'm an organ donor. I'm a proud organ donor. I love how we all say that like assholes because we haven't actually done it yet. We're already patting ourselves on the back for it. But I do think everyone should be an organ donor. I mean, what are you going to be doing with your organs after death? Unless it's something that you are, you know, it's your religious conviction, fine, whatever. It's still your body. Do what you want to do. But I have often thought, I don't know if I would want to donate my eyes or my skin. It just seems kind of creepy. But on the other hand, what greater gift could you give someone than the gift of sight? Or if they were a burn victim, that you're able to help rehabilitate them so they can live normally. But now think of this. Would you want your penis or your partner's penis on someone else's body? Okay, just think about it. I know I'm contradicting myself, but you know what I'm saying? Would you want someone walking around with your vagina? I guess if someone were walking around with mine, I would just hope that they would get the best of me. Do you know what I'm saying? Oh, okay. Now, let me continue with just two very small details. He can pee standing up. He can get an erection. He's regained most of the sensation. That's a very titillating point. Are the sensations the same as his own, or are every man's penis nerves different? And also, testes from the donor were not transplanted. They're like, no, no, we're not testing the testes out. So Ray cannot have children. Well, that makes sense because if you were to transfer the testes and there's living spermie still in there, like if they could somehow get the testes when it's still hot, can they preserve the sperm in it? Or if someone saved their sperm, okay, let's bring this back to reality TV. Let's think Jim Edmonds. He saved his sperm. Now, let's just say Jim Edmonds loses his abdomen, scrotum, penis in a baseball commentator accident. Could he then get a penis, scrotum, testes, abdomen, transplant, put his own sperm in those testes, and then impregnate what's-her-face, Megan King Edmonds, with his own children via another man's gift? Think about that. I told you, it's the least offensive, really. Moving on to the other side of the world, this story is going to really blow your mind. If this does not become a two-night Dateline event, I don't know what will. A local Dutch news station, RTV Drenthe, first reported this story. They said they found a family who had been living in a basement for years, waiting for the end of times. But this gets even wackier. This took place in a village called Runerwold in the northern province of Drenthe. Nobody seemed to know the identity of the man living there. Everyone in the neighborhood gave him this nickname, Joseph the Austrian. I told you, it's like writes itself. Well, a man broke loose from this basement and he was, I believe, 25 years old. He went to this bar owned by a very hot, blonde, not typically my type Dutchman, whose last name is Westerbeek. I don't know if he's related to James Vanderbeek, but they are of the Beek Empire, so we know they can be trusted. Well, Westerbeek talked to this guy, and he said, quote, he said he'd never been to school and seemed very confused. He spoke in a childish way. He told him that his siblings were between the ages of 16 and 25. So Westerbeek calls police. Police go to this little Dutch farm. And from the drone footage from above, because, you know, I deep dove this so fucking hard, it kind of looks like the Dutch version of Stephen Avery's area, his dump yard kind of a thing. You know, very Grey Gardens feel. Well, they go there. They search the farm. They find a hidden staircase. Be still my little Jody dreams. I always wanted to have a hidden staircase, but not quite like this one. So they find the staircase. It goes down to the cellar. Behind a cupboard in the cellar, there's like a whole living room area. The police find the guy sleeping, the Joseph the Austrian sleeping, and they find a bunch of siblings between the ages of 16 and 25. They find out that Joseph the Austrian is not their dad. And right now they're trying to figure out if these siblings are truly related or what the relation is between all of them. They don't know if there is a mom or a woman of the house, but what the fuck is going on? They've been down there, I believe, 8 years thinking that they were the only people still alive on the planet. Well, the 25-year-old that escaped, little fact that was thrown somewhere in the story, which I don't know why it was not the first item on there. Before he said anything to anyone in the bar, he walked in. He looked all dirty, disheveled, as one does after they're found underneath a staircase in the cellar. And he ordered and drank 5 beers before he opened up and said anything to anyone. I mean, I don't blame him. I would be awfully thirsty. And first thing I would order would definitely be a Kettle One extra lime with diet tonic. Duh. Keep your eyes open for that one. Again, this is out of Runervold in the northern province of Drenthe. Although I think I said that with like a German accent, not quite sure. Now, the darkest news of all. This one cuts me like a knife because it triggers things from my past. Ava Mendez got her hair cut at Supercuts and she documented it. I know. Oh, and I'm not even joking about this one. This is really fucking dark. I haven't told many people about this, but there was a time about a 3 to approximately 4.5 month period. I was a receptionist at my local Supercuts. I am not proud of it. It was a shit job. Everyone there were fucking bitches. No one was nice. Customers are complete assholes. And their whole system is messed up, by the way. Haven't been in one since because, if you don't know, the combs that you have to wash are fucking disgusting. There's the vacuum thing in the hall that gets all clumped up with hair. And you know who has to empty that thing that gets sucked in and compacted? Yeah, me, the receptionist, the people that don't even get the satisfaction of hacking off asshole customers' hair. Well, their system, back to that, I'm more of a people, process, product person, much like Marcus Lemonis. I mean, really, I'm like the Marcus Lemonis of the Supercut world, if they ever would have paid me as much as they should have paid me. Their system of calling ahead, get this, you're not making an appointment, you're putting in your spot. So you can call ahead, put your name down, but if someone came in ahead of you, let's say you called, let me explain this clearly because it makes no fucking sense. You call and you're like, hey, lovely receptionist Jody, who is just a dream on the phone. I would like to put my name in for a 1 o'clock haircut. So, okay, 1 o'clock, you come in, but guess what? A bunch of people just walked in right ahead of you. Well, they get to go first in front of you, even though you had a 1 o'clock spot. Try explaining that to people who are pissed off, who just want to get their haircut after they went to church and go shop at the Jewel Osco. They're not too happy about it. And then to be the one to have to assign who goes to which stylist. Okay, that's being generous. I'm sorry if you work at Supercuts, but at least the people that I worked with, only one of them was really great, George. He and I got along great and we thought everyone else was bitches, but everyone else really were bitches. So when people would come in, you could assign them which stylist they were going to get. But the stylist would be really picky, like, no, I don't want that person, or I only like doing men's haircuts or women's. But then the clients could also choose who they wanted. Well, when they would ask me, who do you recommend? That put me in a tough spot because there was definitely one person there who I would never, ever in a million years let touch anyone's head if I could help it. And I had to send people to her. Like if they went to her because she was the next in line, it was always like, oh dear God, let's just call this person Evelyn because all Evelyns that we've seen on these shows fucking suck. Sorry, nice Evelyns. But Evelyn was the worst. I think she may have gone to beauty school in like 1961 and dropped out after 6 months. Somehow she was working at the Supercuts and it was horrible. I think eventually she got fired/retired. It was, like I said, it was a very dark time. And there was like a dress code. Like I had to dress up for a fucking Supercuts. You know how disgusting I felt after the end of a shift of cleaning and transferring disgusting combs and, oh my God. Okay, stylists, colorists, God bless you because what you have to touch and sweep up, it was a very dark time. So there you go. Ava Mendez chose to go to a Supercuts. We've all had a very shitty haircut. One time I got like the Rachel cut, but it was not blended. It was just like 2 layers, like boom to the chin, boom lower down. Then it was just supposed to flip up on its own. Yeah, that didn't happen. Thanks for the traumatic freshman year in high school, whoever the hell cut my hair then. I told you that went like really dark and deep, and I almost feel short of breath, like I need a Xanax. That's what Supercuts does to me. Let's put it this way. If you have had a great experience at a Supercuts, please reach out and share your story, because I have a feeling a lot of you are just in a very dark place from a Supercuts experience. Oh, shall we do some 90 Day Fiancé the other way? Oh, yes, we shall, because the tell-all was amazing. So we open the whole episode in like a baby's day out montage, otherwise known as Jihoon's first time in New York City. How endearing and adorable was that? He knows nothing about New York City except for what he's seen in Home Alone 2. I love that, because I also experienced the very same thing. I've only been to New York City twice. I don't even really think they count as true visits. I want to see Ellis Island. I really don't need to see the Statue of Liberty, but I think you can kind of see it in the distance from what I've seen in textbooks. Basically, I would like to go to New York City with any or all of you, because that would be a fucking blast. I want to experience the city as an adult, go do all the things that I think happen in New York City. Much like Jihoon, I'm thinking, ooh, big toy store. Maybe we go on the keyboard that was in Big. Maybe go see some Sleepless in Seattle, like atmosphere things. Am I making any sense? Like a Seinfeld diner? Does that even exist? I don't know. Jihoon and I were right there, simpatico. We're startled by fire alarms. We're like, ooh, what is that tall building called? A man in a uniform at the door. Well, isn't that fancy? We're the same. Now, Paul is also there, but no mom hair. Don't care. Moving along. Why the fuck is he still on the show? And then we get to Laura arriving, and she tells us that Aladdin is still in Tunisia, maybe Qatar, something like that. And the same goes for Jenny and Sumit. Now then, like a vision in black in a Spanx tube top, Tiffany arrives 3 weeks postpartum, and she looks amazing. I love her. I like her little eyeliner wings. I could never pull that off. I would love to. Very symmetrical, very clean lines. In her confidence, her honesty, what is there not to like about Tiffany? The tube top was a little questionable, but I mean, she's Daniel's mother. She produced Daniel, and for that, she's just automatically in heaven. Now, moving on, we see Corey arrives, and he's holding a plethora of purple shirts. Here's another confession time. We already went to Supercuts, so this is just going to be like nothing in comparison. I am not a purple fan. I think there are two types of women. You're either a pink or a purple person, and for some reason, I've never liked purple. Sorry, purple people, but it is what it is. And a guy with several shades of purple shirts, I don't like it. And it's nothing to do with like, oh, he's wearing purple, that's a girl color, he's gay, something stupid like that. Not at all. When I see a guy wearing purple shirts, it brings me back to the time when that came into fashion, which is when Regis Philbin was hosting, Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire? Oh my God, that's another great show. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And he had those monochromatic shirts with the tie, and it took the Midwest men's warehouses by storm, and that's all you could fucking see. And I'm sorry, purple, but you got thrown in there, and ever since, you've never been able to rebrand. Oh, now Scout is barking in the background, that little bitch. And speaking of little bitches and rebranding, let's talk about Evelyn. Perfect transition. Thank you, Scout. Evelyn never got the hint that America fucking hates her. And since Corey's dad died and Corey proposed, you remember that last week when Evelyn is up in a fucking hot air balloon and she pretends she doesn't see the huge tarp asking her to marry Corey? Well, she reluctantly accepted, and she's decided that Corey has gained weight during this grieving process of, you know, his father's death. So she thinks berating him is her best option to help him get ripped, get those six-pack abs. Fucking bitch. If I were Corey, I'd tell her to go get her bonus tooth pulled and then pull my money out of that bar that he bought for her. Maybe use some of that cash. Get yourself easy lipo, buddy. Get your six-pack abs that way. Then wave adios to that selfish bitch. We're going to talk more about her later because their segment, fucking Christ. Okay, sorry, Christ. Didn't mean to put you in the same sentence as Evelyn. Now, we just kind of jump into the tell-all at this point, and everyone's smiling, saying hi, doing the usual. And this time, they have the foreign fiancés, for lack of a better term, on these TV screens next to each of their partners. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I kind of liked it. It gave you the feel that everyone was there without having to cut to each couple on the couch with the Skype, which they eventually do, but I don't know. I feel like it gave us a sense of togetherness. Now we get to a question that's thrown at Tiffany about dealing with the unknown of Ronald's addiction. And for some unknown reason, Corey decides to throw himself into this conversation. Corey, of all the people there on the stage, the one guy, well, one of the guys, with zero self-awareness or awareness of interpersonal relationships at all, he thinks Ronald isn't sincere about his intentions and he just wants a green card. Dude, you wanna look over your shoulder to the bitch in yellow breathing through the gap between her tooth and her lip? She used you down to cooking utensils, for Christ's sake. Shut the fuck up. And then it didn't even stop there because Evelyn pipes up and brings Daniel into it. Evelyn is now the patron saint of fatherless children across the world and thinks Tiffany and Ronald don't think of Daniel first. Are you fucking kidding me? Who the hell do you think you are? And what sort of credentials does Evelyn have to be behind the bar that gives her insight into child development and child rearing? Shut up, you narcissistic, evil piece of shit. Signed, All of America. Now, I would have turned, I don't know, the shade of one of Corey's purple shirts if anyone dared to talk about Daniel in my presence. I mean, my kids, I could take it. I might even understand a time or two. But Daniel, never. Go to fucking hell. But what does Mother Tiffany, Saint Tiffany, do? She just calmly reminds Corey and Evelyn that she's good. She and Ronald have something called trust. Neither of them have ever cheated on one another. And with that, boom, roasted. Evelyn and Corey had to wipe those stupid, smug smiles off their dumb faces, down with Team Ecuador. Now then we jump to Laura and her beef, or lack thereof, with Aladdin. I don't really think it's anything really too interesting to talk about. They talked about her purple friend, and then we have to relive that scene, but I don't think anyone really cares. We just want to know what crazy shit is happening currently. Back to them in a moment, but first we get this segment with Corey and Evelyn. Okay, I gotta take a deep breath because I'm pretty certain I'm gonna have a coronary event here. First of all, let's just talk about Evelyn's face. She is so smug. She cannot even hide her smile, even when her fiancé, the love of her life, is on the verge of tears. It's just this bitchy smirk with that tooth hanging out. And she giggles her way through not wearing her engagement ring. Oh, I don't know. And resting her hand on her face, just rubbing salt in the wound. And Corey, he's not faultless here. He's a damn fool. He's choosing to be an idiot. He's putting blinders on. He actually believed her that she accidentally forgot to put on the one item that got you to be on the show to begin with. Fiance, 90-day fiance, hence the ring. She remembered to put on that stupid red Kabbalah bracelet 20 years after the fad came and went, but her ring, oh, she forgot. Now then I think we got some flashback clips, if I remember correctly, because I remember we saw Corey's dad because I got choked up. But did Evelyn? No, no, no. Not even a little tear or pretending to look sympathetic. Of course not, because she's more concerned with making her traditional man and woman role point. She needs to be very clear that she's a real traditionalist. Except one would assume a man and a woman in these roles, like she's talking about, the man, the provider, wouldn't that mean that the man and the woman are in a committed, likely a marital bond of a relationship? Okay. Well, then we get to Raul. That fucking douchebag. I think I liked him before. I don't really remember. But what a manipulative asshole this guy turns out to be. He and Evelyn deserve each other. Why is Corey against it? Let them have at it. Let them go be assholes to each other. Then you go back to Mill A or Mill B, Washington. Go hug a redwood or whatever people do in Washington and let them have the bar by themselves. They're not going to be able to run it with their $0 plus benefits, babe. And then, oh, okay, hold on. I did have one note here. Oh, about Corey learning Spanish. Raul just sticks the knife in the wound and he says Corey can't even ask for a glass of water and he's lived in Ecuador for however long. Well, I took a moment and I used my little clever language skills myself and I wondered if anyone else realized that the word evil is literally in Evelyn's first name. I mean, it's spelled right out for you. So how about that, Raul? Zing. Okay, Laura and Aladdin were the last couple. We just got a little bit an amuse-bouche, if you will. And I don't know what to think yet. And I'm really crossing my fingers, hoping that they're going to go into this whole pregnancy scam, pregnancy lie. If you go on Instagram, look into it first, and then we can all wish and pray and rub off our crystals together that they talk about it next week. So in the meantime, go to Instagram. I'm trying to think of the accounts that I follow that do a really good job, especially the ones that broke the news and were talking to Laura on the DL. I believe it was Talker of Shits, 90 Day Fiancé, etc., ETC, and Frauded by TLC, I believe. If I'm forgetting someone, I'm sorry. They absolutely deserve the shout out. They are doing the Lord's work, that is saying the very least. So Talker of Shits, 90 Day Fiancé, etc., Frauded by TLC. Remind me if I follow you and we've been talking and I totally forgot. My brain's just all over the place the past couple of weeks. Now, speaking of batshit crazy people, I myself am well on my way there. Let's talk about the crazy bitches and what would you call a bitch guy? A botch? Asshole? I don't know. We need a male equivalent of a bitch, a botch. I'm just going to go with botch. Love after lockup, snitches get stitches. No Andrea in LaMondre. So let's talk about, let's save some of our good ones for last. Let's talk about Lizzie and Daniel. Now, they're playing pool at this restaurant, and all of a sudden, it didn't feel like Love After Lockup to me. It felt like 60 Days in Narcoland. If you watch that series, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Lizzie's ex and or former drug dealer, not quite sure if she was saying ex is like a code word or if it just legit was her dealer in multi-level marketing terms, her upline, if you will. She sees him in the corner of the bar. I think he might have texted her and he sees that Lizzie and all the other people are wearing wires or, you know, being followed by a full camera crew, sound crew, a boom. So she's afraid that they're going to get jumped there. Now, I do not know a lot about drugs. I know, shocking breaking news. But if Lizzie used to run drugs, she said he used to be my dealer, they shouldn't be that afraid, right? Like, they shouldn't care that much about it. Now, Daniel is under the assumption that she cheated on him and that's why she wants to get out of there. But I think she's saying it's because she's afraid drug people are going to kill her. But again, if she's currently running drugs, I can understand the concern, but if it was in the past, it shouldn't be that big of a deal. So is Lizzie currently a druggie? Is druggie even a term people use anymore? This whole world of theirs going on totally threw me for a loop, and it's just not really what I want to see in my Love After Lockup. I want to see, I don't know, not cartel-related drama. I need to save that for my Pablo Escobar narco and, again, 60 Days in Narcoland. Now, Angela and Tony. Oh, really, truly a gift. Even though I get a little bored with her because it's the same old, it's like having, I don't know, an Almond Joy when you forgot how much you love an Almond Joy when you get that almond and you're like, ooh, that's a surprise, even though you know it's there, you're not that excited. But man, when it hits the spot, it hits the spot. Or I'll say the same thing for a Toffee. love those. If you're a fan of hazelnut and you love some Nutella, get yourself some Toffifee. Kind of obscure, kind of hard to find, often on the bottom shelf of the candy aisle, which I never understand because that's like some top shelf candy shit. Anyhow, Angela and Tony.
They caught him, damn it. What am I gonna do?
Guess I wish I was better at an impersonation of Angela, but it hurts my ears and my throat. She just needs like some Vicks vapor rub. Pop a lozenge in there for Christ's sake because it's painful to hear her speak. What she was trying to say through the rocks and gravel that she swallowed is that they caught Tony. She doesn't know what she's going to do because he's clearly going to be locked up for a good period of time. Tommy knows exactly what he wants to do. He's going to try to slip it in while Ange is down in the dumper because this might be his only chance to get with her. I mean, you got the romance of two headlights and probably the one single streetlight slash telephone pole in town lighting up Angela's growing mustache, growing every week, and a little shadow over that snaggle tooth. You can't really see it. So I get it, Tommy. I get what you're seeing. Now add to Angela's sore throat and Tommy's delusion, we have the fact that Angela and Tony still haven't, you know, and that makes for one fiery Angela. She's determined to get down to the reason why Tony wanted to run, and if she has an inner to be his pen pal for another, I don't know, 7 to 10. And while we're counting, 3 bottles of Mr. Bubble I counted in Glorietta and Alex's hotel room. Think for a moment what you know about that shit. You know how bad Mr. Bubble is for your plumbing, and I mean your personal plumbing as well. If you catch Glorietta's soon-to-be drift, like you just don't go pouring that amount of stuff in a tub without it having to settle somewhere. Glorietta's heart is not going to be the only thing broken and burning. And while we're talking about burning, Alex needs to visit a board-certified dermatologist ASAP because he has a shitload of asymmetrical moles on his back. They got to be checked out very soon. I mean, like burn it, freeze it, biopsy, all of the above. He's got to get a yearly skin check done. You guys do too. I mean, I don't know if he has been out in the prison yard sans sunscreen for many a years, but it needs to get checked out. Now jump to Mama Glorietta, who is a huge fan of Elton John. Love the glasses. She meets Glorietta and the walking mole. And all Glorietta's mom needs to do, she knows that she's smart. She just needs one thing that Glorietta does not know about Alex so that she can pounce on it. And when she finds it, she can forever hold it up to Glorietta and say, here, I told you so. He's not who you thought he was. So, okay, fast forward a little bit. It really was kind of boring because, again, all I can think of is Blossom when I see Joey Lawrence sitting here as a former convict. It's the role of a lifetime. He ends up saying he's Muslim, he's not Christian, and hesitates when saying if he would or wouldn't convert back to Christianity for Glorietta. So right there, Mama Glorietta gets up and she's like, you're an idiot. But let's just be real here. Glorietta doesn't care. She would convert to a fucking circus if Alex wanted her to. She doesn't give a shit as long as Alex is going to tell her whatever she wants to hear and buy her more bubbles whenever she needs it. Now let's talk about Lacey, Shane, and John. This chick just makes me hate her every single episode. So Shane is back. Remember, he's the younger guy that's already out of prison. John's still locked up until next week, I believe. Well, he is upset because Lacey has been leading, quote, a two-sided life. Oh, Shane. Double life, buddy. It's called a double life. Maybe your puka shell's a little too tight, cutting off some oxygen to that little noodle up there in your brain. Maybe he's suffering from a case of the Appalachias. And don't blame me for stereotyping for saying that. All right, Leah from Teen Mom is the one who confirmed the truth, so go and be mad at her. But it doesn't really matter. Shane is insistent that he is going to get back with Lacey. His ass is not going to be beat by John. He wants his two-sided gal. Rain be damned because he uses enough gel in his hair to make him look like he's soaking wet all the time anyway. He knocks on the door with his flowers, and lucky him, Lacey must have been out in the rain too, because she said she's wet too. I know, real fucking classy. I'm not that dumb, but she is that disgusting. She's putting this on national TV. Her children will see this someday. So they proceed to the bedroom where she mounts Shane, and I started feeling like I was watching Mary Kay Letourneau in Villy Falau. I don't like it. I get an older woman, younger man thing. I know it's technically legal, but I feel like I am watching some teacher, child porn thing. I feel very uncomfortable with it. And I also feel very uncomfortable. Shout out to Joya, who brought this to my attention. Her doorknob is, well, I'm just going to leave it at that. Go back, look at the doorknob in that scene. That's all I can say. Like, for health and mental health reasons, that's where I have to leave it. All right, Vincent and Amber. What the fuck is going on? This blows my mind more than Lizzie and Daniel. All I know from this episode is that I never, ever want to go to a strip club because the scenes we were allowed to see, blurred and not blurred, too much. I applaud the dancers for being so confident. They are jiggling, things are wiggling to and fro, but that's not something I prefer to see nor do. And who wants a stranger's butt cheeks flapping away in your face? I don't understand it. And during cold and flu season, viruses and bacterial infections are highly contagious. It is not worth the risk. And in this instance, you're actually paying to get pink eye and strep and staph and flu and syphilis of your eyes and your hands. You're making it rain in exchange for your next urgent care copay, is what I'm trying to say. It's a waste of money. But you know who loves it? Amber. She says she grew up in this place. Isn't that heartwarming? It's just like a charming childhood story. She and her friends Rainbow Bright and Big Boy are regulars there. You don't say. I would never guess Big Boy and Rainbow Bright. Now, not for nothing, you have to have confidence, much like the strippers, to let your fupa hang over your jeans while berating Vincent. I'm talking to you, Rainbow Bright. And also to live with the nickname Big Boy. I feel like we need to stop this right now because Big Boy is not a name most people can live with. There's variations of it, Big Guy or, I don't know, Tall Man, something like that. Like, I feel like Slim, that could be a little flattering. But Big Boy, and have you ever heard of a woman named Big Girl? Exactly. It's not okay for a man or a woman. But back to Vincent. Basically, everyone hates him. They think he's a weirdo because he's a weirdo. And Amber, just the classic heartless bitch in high school. She's the girl that knows a guy is into her, but she pretends that she doesn't know it, while also copying his homework, kind of flirting with him, giving him a thank you hug, leading him on. But then when he asks certain questions, assuming that you are at a certain relationship level, she's like, I don't know what he's talking about. Amber is saying that Vincent never asked her the right kind of questions to get to know her. But hold on here. Amber can also share information about herself because, you know, he was sending her money and paying for her mattress and stuff. I don't feel bad for Amber. She knows exactly what she's doing. They're both using each other, so fuck both of them. Now, Cheryl and Josh, dumb and dumber, going on a treasure hunt. I don't know if I feel more stupider, if you will, or smart every time I watch these two. I mean, the combined IQ between them, they got to have less than what's in Josh's bank account, which, hey, Jody, he doesn't have a bank account. Exactly. Or I should say their combined IQ is still less than the amount of bonus teeth in Cheryl's mouth, but that would be kind of mean. All right, so Josh hid some cash when he robbed a bank or something like that, like he buried it. And now it's in the general location of a swamp. And since he can't get his little anklet wet, he sends Cheryl in there with a fucking shovel. Not the right kind of shovel, by the way. So all 42 pounds of Cheryl goes in thigh deep into this murky ass water. And of course she can't find it because it's probably disintegrated at this point, or it's made its way southward towards, I don't know, Angela from 90 Day Fiancé's trailer. Now Cheryl gets pissed off because she climbs out of this murk and she's pissed off because they're supposed to go to a family reunion. Now, don't you think for like a split second before she jumped in while she was chucking her shoes, she should have thought, gee, I might get dirty if I go in here and then I get out. I might need a change of clothes. She knew what she was doing, so why did she even offer to go in the first place? She's fucking stupid. And Josh, oh, we could put the heater on or something. Oh yeah, that heater that magically washes dirt out of denim. Good one, Four Eyes. I have no idea where that comes from. I wear glasses. I have no idea why I called him that. I could think of something more clever if I had a little bit more caffeine or some vodka. Well, that brings us to a screeching halt to the show. I love how I'm feeling really guilty and worried that I just called him Four Eyes out of nowhere, but I have no guilt about calling people fucking assholes or bitches. I'm sorry if I offended anyone with glasses. Like I said, I wear them too. Now I'm not going to be able to sleep because I called him Four Eyes. Okay, fuck face. There we go. We're all good. We're all friends again. So with that, that wraps up the show today. Thank you for listening, subscribing. Please share and leave a 5-star review. If you don't have it in you to write a 5-star review, just click those 5 little stars in your podcast app. It really helps me out, especially us independent podcasters. It does worlds of wonderful things for us. So thank you ahead of time for that. If you are on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, follow me at RealityVPod. I like to live tweet during the show, so check that out. Total Request Podcast with Amanda this week. We are going to be talking about an episode of Shrill, the body positive episode. So excited to do that. That is at patreon.com/AmandaAndJody. I'm Jody with an IE. And let's see what else. Moms on the Rocks. We recorded a new episode this week. Some freaky paranormal Reddit stuff and Halloweenish shit. And my Patreon, patreon.com/realityvpod. We're keeping it light and fun this week. Celebrity gossip, blind items, and maybe we'll take some questions from the Facebook group. We'll get on that tonight. Thank you guys so much once again for listening. And until next time, have a great week. Talk to you soon. Stay salty.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back to school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.